Oystermarth Castle was originally built back in the early 12th century, but most of what stands at the moment dates to the 14th century. Back in 1107, William de Londres was granted a fief at Oystermouth, and in 1131 the castle was built. The castle back at that time would have been a wooden and earthwork structure. It was mostly built to protect against raids from the local Welsh, who were causing trouble for the Normans. The town of Oystermouth itself was a planted settlement, mostly settlers brought in from Flanders, rather than being local Welsh. In 1136, the castle was reported to have been burnt down, but then it was rebuilt again. And the de Londres family continued to own Oystermouth, and the castle was developed under them until the early 13th century. The earliest of the structures that actually exists at the moment dates to this time. The South Keep, where Feature 6 now stands, dates to the time of the de Londres family. Following on from this, in 1215, William de Londres was thought to have died without any heir, and the castle reverted to the Lords of the Gower, the de Breos family. These were a very prominent noble family of the time, and had estates all across most of England, Scotland and Wales. The Oystermouth Castle was just one of their many estates. The castle was developed further during the reign of the de Breos family, and being a wealthy, prominent, noble family of the time, there was a lot of money that they had available to spend on it. However, there's also reports quite early on of the castle being destroyed during Welsh revolts in the early 13th century. In 1216, during one of the Welsh revolts, 1217, Rhys Grug campaigned in the Gower, and Oystermouth was one of the castles that was burnt during that time. Over the course of the 13th and early 14th century, the castle was developed, and many of the other features were built up. The chapel block, for example, was raised and extended, and it's thought that Elena de Breos was responsible for the building of the chapel that stands there at the moment. Eventually, however, the de Breos family fell out of favour with the kings, and the castle fell from being in their hands to belonging later on to the Earl of Worcester. The Earls of Worcester held the castle from, I believe it was about the 15th or 16th century onwards until the early 20th century. The castle is thought to have fallen into disuse sometime around the end of the 15th century, the early 16th century. Leland, in the 1530s, noted only the ruins of a castle destroyed by Prince Llewellyn. It's not really appropriate to say that the place had been destroyed by Llewellyn, because it was definitely rebuilt after his revolt. In the 1560s, when the lordships of the Gowers were settled during the time of the Civil War, the place has been referred to as an old, decayed and picturesque ruin, which is how it remained right up until the 18th, 19th century. In the 1840s, there was an attempt at restoration and clearance by George Grant Francis. This mostly centred on the interior of the castle, hundreds of tonnes of rubble and earth and, well, what was described as rubbish, was removed from the inside of the castle. There was an attempt at the time to try and fix up and restore some of the buildings inside the castle itself. And then later on, back in the 1870s, there was again some more restoration conducted just outside the castle. at this time there was an attempt to try and fix up the outer defences, clear the exterior workings and do some landscaping of the grounds around the castle itself. It was in 1927, Duke Henry Beaufort sold Oystermouth Castle to the Borough Council of Swansea, and nothing much was done with it until in 1989. The Friends of Oystermouth Castle, a local charitable organisation made up of local residents, decided to take over running the castle, opening it up to the public and trying to help maintain the place. Just recently, the castle received a lottery heritage fund for work to be carried out on the conservation of the castle. CADU also granted an award of £560,000. I believe it was £400,000 from CADU. Also towards trying to do some conservation work and trying to build up, fix up some of the stonework on the castle to try and prevent any further deterioration. As to what's going on outside the castle, there's a couple of features that we're trying to explore and understand. For instance, the drum towers that the castle should probably have had at some stage in its development. There's no clear evidence that they are definitely part of the existing gatehouse structure, although it was almost certainly built with them in mind. So that's what we're trying to do in Trench 1, is look for evidence of that. Also, there's paintings from the 18th century depicting the view of the castle from the back, which shows a wall extending across the castle grounds down to an outer gatehouse that would have existed at the time, just at the entrance to the park and the estates of the castle. These show up in photos from the 1940s as well, and we're trying to find evidence of these and find when they date to, whether this is part of the Victorian landscaping of the castle grounds, or if this was also part of the original castle. The castle itself has got a rather unusual history, having developed in a fairly unplanned and almost haphazard manner over the centuries, and being allowed to fall into neglect and decay. This itself makes it quite an unusual castle to visit, as you can see as you go around the stages and the development of it, how certain features appear to have changed in their function. For instance, with the South Hall, one of the windows visible on the South Hall looks as though it was originally part of a bricked-up doorway that would have led into the what was the Great Hall of the castle. The entrance that's to the left of this is also quite clearly built at a later date. You can see in the way it's abutted to it. So it's a castle with a long and interesting archaeological history that's somewhat puzzling at times, and it's great to have an opportunity now to be able to try to sort out some of the puzzles surrounding it.